بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. فما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم: اصدقوا الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected brothers, sisters, elders, we continue from the khutbah of last week, which is Tawakkul is the Tawheed of the heart. Last week I spoke to you about the beautiful life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and specifically of the incident where bismillah ta'ala he took his wife, our mother Hajar alayhi salam, and his infant son Ismail alayhi salam, and he took them with him from Palestine to the valley of Makkah, and he left them there on the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mentioned to you last week all that happened, and of course we all know these stories, there's nothing new in that. The idea of the stories, the idea of repeating them, is for us to reflect on them, number one. Number two is to ask ourselves, what lessons do I learn from this story and how can I apply that in my life? The story is not history, the story is not entertainment, the story is not simply to be read because of the thawab. There is no doubt thawab in reading the Quran, we don't deny that, but that is not the purpose of the revelation of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did not send the Quran to give us thawab. Allah sent us the Quran for us to live by the Quran, so that we can have a beautiful life in this world and Jannah in the Akhirah, inshallah. So now let us see what Ibrahim alayhi salam did. Ibrahim alayhi salam, then after he left them and he went away, when he went over the lip of the valley to a place where they could not see him, where his wife and son could not see him, he turned around and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want you to reflect on this dua, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ربنا إني أسكنت بمن ذريتي بواد غير ذي ذرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل فدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون. الله سبحانه وتعالى mentioned this dua, which means, O our Rabb, I have settled some of my family, some of my descendants in an uncultivated, uncultivable valley near your sacred house. Our Rabb, that they may establish Salah. The first thing he is mentioning, why did I leave them there? So that they may establish Salah. And then the second thing he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, he says, so make the hearts of people inclined towards them, give them influence, and provide for them from fruits that they might be thankful. The first lesson that we learn from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, from this story as well as the many other places where Ibrahim alayhi salam has been mentioned, the first and foremost lesson that we learn is that of adab, the respect, the reverence in which Ibrahim alayhi salam held Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he demonstrated towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. despite the fact of his closeness with Allah, despite the fact that he had this absolutely unique relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet his approach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was one with which was characterized by the utmost reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this particular case, he did not say, I obeyed you, I settled them there, now look after them. He didn't say this. That was the fact. I mean, he didn't just take them out of nowhere. This is because of the hukum of Allah. Despite that, Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't say, you know, now I've done what you told me to do, now please look after them. He didn't say this. He says, I have settled them so that they may establish your worship, so that they may establish salah. The position of a supplicant, the position of the abd before his Rabb. My brothers and sisters, once the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is established in our life, then everything else becomes easy. First, the purpose of life. Everything else will follow. The purpose of life is to please Allah, the rida of Allah. In whatever we do, whether in our families, in our public life, in our private life, in our transactions, interactions, in our politics, in our economics, everything, one single purpose, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be pleased with me. If that single purpose, if that one single criterion of decision making is paramount in our lives, then everything else will follow, and you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you from sources that you could not even imagine. And this is not my statement, this is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in the Quran, as we all know. People like to ask about techniques of da'wah. The best technique of da'wah is to pray tahajjud, to focus on zuhud in your own personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by obeying Him joyfully and completely. To strive to seek ways to please Him. Not to look for shortcuts. How can I do more? Not the minimalist thinking. What is the minimum I should do? No. The minimum is a boundary condition. Without the minimum, if you don't enter that door, you are not even in the room. But you, when you enter that door, you don't want to be standing at the door. You want to come into the room, you want to come into the house, you want to enjoy the privileges of the house. You can't do that by standing at the door. To do more than what is fard. Fard is, if something is fard, then we deliberately leave it, then that's a major calamity. So if I'm fulfilling the fard, fine, that's okay. I mean, that's the boundary condition. We need to think of doing more than that. To try to do more and more to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to leave whatever does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what anyone else thinks. Once we get connected with Allah, He will open the hearts of people to our message. So the first thing Ibrahim alayhi salam said is this, that I have left them there so that they may establish your worship. They may establish a salah. لِيُقِيمُوا السَّلَةِ لِمَاذَا لِيُقِيمُوا السَّلَةِ Then Ibrahim alayhi salam asked for influence for Hajar alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. Incline the hearts of people. Let people love them. Let people respect them. Let people listen to them. Let people become concerned about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent the tribe of Jurhum and made them obedient to Hajar alayhi salam. I'm sure all of you have read the seerah, and all of these incidents are there in the seerah described in detail. Did you think about this? That's why I say don't just read. Read and reflect. What is the meaning? We just say this. Jurhum came from, first of all, Jurhum came from Yemen. They had to be there at that particular time and so on and so on. What's the probability of that, right? But given all that, what is the meaning in the 7th century if a whole tribe is migrating? What are you looking at? You are looking, supposing you were standing there looking at the scene, you are looking at this massive congregation of people, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of camels, thousands of sheep and cattle, all their children and families and tents, led by big chieftains, guarded by big warriors. Right? Because these are dangerous times. I mean, you can't just walk around, you know, free. They would be attacked. So they are, you're looking at this patriarchal society, male dominated, like you won't believe. And all of them become subservient to one single woman in the desert. I mean, give me a break. If that story was not in the Quran, I would say this is like somebody's got some fancy imagination. I mean, this actually happened? I'm sorry, I don't believe that. One single woman. What normally would have happened? If she is pretty, one of them would have taken her as his wife. If she registered, chopper, finished, end of story. We are interested in the water, which is there, Zamzam. Who are you? You are going to tell me, this one single woman is going to tell me, the chief of Jorhum, that I permit you, first of all, I'm asking, do I have your permission to stay here? And then she says, yes, you can stay here, but the water does not belong to you, water belongs to us. What is the likelihood of this? Tell me. It's not even zero. It is way beyond, way below zero. But it happened. We know it happened because Allah told us it happened. We know it happened because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us it happened. It is a historical fact. It happened. Ask how. This is the meaning. This is the meaning. When you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then decides your position in the world, and Allah will make you the chief. You don't have to do anything about it. Hajar alayhi salam focused on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam focused on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah then makes everyone else subservient to them. So here is this big tribe which comes and they are asking her permission. This is the power of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then think about this. What did Ibrahim alayhi salam say? Did he say, Ya Allah, please give them, you know, one piece of bread in a day? No. He is asking for fruits. What are fruits? Fruits are what I call tertiary benefits. They are not fundamental benefits. They are not even secondary benefits. Fundamental benefit is basic food. Secondary benefit would be some shelter. Who is thinking of fruits? Fruits is tertiary benefit. But you know something? He is asking Allah to give them fruits in a place where even grass doesn't grow. But you know the funny thing is, this is something that you see in the dua of the Anbiya alayhi salam. All the Anbiya alayhi salam, they ask for things which are apparently impossible. There is no asbab for this. Zakariya alayhi salam makes dua. Oh Allah, I am old, my bones are weak, my hair is white, my wife, she is beyond the age of childbirth. She cannot give birth to anybody, but give me an heir. He didn't say, give me a second wife. He said, give me an heir. Give me a son from this same woman. The woman who is incapable of bearing children. Incapable of bearing children by our reckoning. But for the one who created the heavens and the earth, for the one who brought a pregnant camel out of a rock, for the one who created Adam alayhi salam without a mother and father, who created Hawa alayhi salam from a man, who created Isa alayhi salam without a father, what is it to him to create, to give a child? This is the secret of the dua. Secret of dua is build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And when that connection is built, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in keeping with your need, not in keeping with what you think is possible or impossible, but in keeping with the glory and majesty of Allah. This is what we learn from the du'as of the Anbiya alayhi salam. And that is why when we talk about, when we say in tawakkul, I am making tawakkul, but should I use asbab? Yes, use the asbab, because Allah sent the asbab to you. But don't lose sight of the musabbibul asbab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converts constraints into assets, and he does it to show his power. But we need to persuade him. And the way to do that is never to join partners with him and to seek help only and only from him. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فأما بعد، قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وعلى خلفاء الراشدين أبا بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. فما بعد، My dear brothers and sisters, we make effort not because we believe in the effort, but because Allah created the means for us to use. But focus on His power and do not allow the means or constraints to either give you hope or to frighten you. Those who know Allah rejoice in the face of difficulty. They rejoice when the means disappear, because then they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is going to provide from sources that they could not imagine. They don't stop the effort. Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't have children until he was probably 80 years old, but he didn't stop making dua. He didn't say to himself, well, you know what, this is not my destiny, there's no point in asking over and over again, asked all this time, didn't happen, so forget it. No. He kept asking until he got his child. He would have said, my job is to ask, I ask. That's it. Hawa alayhi salam, Hajar alayhi salam, she ran up and down those hills. She didn't stop until she saw Jibreel alayhi salam there. It was 7 times, but we don't know where it would have been 70 times, who knows. She didn't stop until she saw the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An interesting thing is, as I mentioned last Jumu'ah also, the help of Allah comes in unexpected ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have shown her something when she climbed this hill or that hill, and she could have taken the sustenance from whatever Allah showed her. Allah didn't do that. Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salam. Completely unexpected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not necessarily remove the constraint itself. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was being thrown into the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that Ibrahim alayhi salam will not be harmed by the fire, but Allah did not put out the fire. Allah did not put out the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send Jibreel alayhi salam to say when he is flying through the air, pick him up and take him away somewhere. No. What did the people see? Those who were trying to burn Ibrahim alayhi salam, did they see Ibrahim alayhi salam falling into the fire or not? Yes. So according to those people, they were successful. They were throwing Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire. Nothing stopped them. They saw him fall into the fire. They must have rejoiced. They must have said, fantastic, good. End of story. We burnt him. We destroyed him. Until they saw him walking out of the fire. This is the khudrat of Allah. The reason I'm saying that is because we sometimes lose hope. We despair, which is very bad. We should not despair. Because we say, you know, I'm doing all of this, nothing is happening, things are not changing. Things don't have to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change them in your favor. Conditions will remain. You will not be affected adversely. So never stop making dua. And never allow constraints to come in the way of making dua. And at the same time, even more difficult, do not allow your resources to become the means of committing shirk of a kind, which is tawakkul alal asbab, wa shirk. Sometimes it's tough, because when you have the means, not to rely on the means becomes even more of a challenge. Those who understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who understand tawakkul, they know the means cannot do anything by itself until the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. And that's why Allah said, وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will provide you from sources you cannot imagine. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And the one who has tawakkul on Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become sufficient for that person. The key, my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, is to become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And then make effort in all permissible ways. And then make dua and wait for Allah's help to come. Allah promised, and Allah never goes back on His promise. It is for us to fulfill our side of the bargain. Help is for the muttaqoon and the mutawakkilun, not for the fasiqoon. So we need to clean up our act, and we need to become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We define ourselves and we define our future. Now, I have been given the unpleasant duty of saying something which I would rather not say, but I have to say it. I want to ask you a question. And the question is, do you believe in Allah? Dumb question. You are here to pray for Jummah and I'm asking a question. Do you believe in Allah? Yes or no? You believe, right? So do you believe that Allah sees and Allah hears and Allah knows all the time? Even if you are wearing a mask? Then how is it? I'm not saying you are doing it. I don't think you are doing it. But our Muslims are doing it. Members of this masjid are doing it. How is it that we can bring garbage and throw it in front of the mosque? If we are doing that, what does it say about my belief? If I am dropping garbage in front of the masjid, what am I saying about my iman on Allah? I'm not talking about cameras and I don't care about cameras. I'm saying you are a Muslim. Whoever is dropping that garbage is a Muslim or not? Allah knows best. Wallahu a'lam. But a Muslim who believes in Allah, who believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing, who believes that one day he is going to go and face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brings garbage and throws it in front of Allah's house. Is this masjid the house of Allah or is it your house or my house? What does that say about the iman of that person? I'm not making a fatwa. I'm not saying the person has iman or does not have iman. I'm saying whoever is doing that, whoever is throwing garbage, whoever is bringing unwanted stuff and throwing it in front of the masjid, ask yourself, do you have iman? Ask yourself, what are you going to answer to Allah on the day of judgment when you die? If Allah asks you, you used to throw garbage in front of my house. Why? What are you going to answer? Please. Get serious. This is so, that's why I said I don't like to say this. I feel ashamed to speak to you and tell you things like this. You are mashallah educated people. You are my brothers and sisters. I respect you. I should not have to say something like this to you. That's why I'm saying I don't think you guys are doing it. I cannot imagine that one of you throws garbage here and has the temerity to sit in this masjid for Jummah. So I don't think you are doing it. But somebody is doing it. One of the Muslims or more of the Muslims of this community are doing it. It is utterly, totally shameful. And it is an indicator that that person I won't say they don't have iman in their heart. I don't know what they have in their heart, but they should check and see if they have iman in their heart. That is why I began by asking, do you believe in Allah? Do you believe that Allah is watching you? You know Allah is watching you. You say you believe that, but you can bring garbage and throw it in front of the house of Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الابرار اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما اعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فانك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك فانه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب اليك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينحى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا السلام.